ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। And Pradyumna Prabhu would chant the mantra, the Om Namo Bhagavate and the shloka for the day. You were here for that, Panchagoda? 77? Here. We're reading several shlokas today because there are four that were not read yesterday, and today is text 12 to 15 in chapter 15 of 6th canto. We'll do the Sanskrit for the Kumaro Narada. Kumaro Narada Ribhur Angira Devalo Asita Apantaratama Vyaso Markandeyo Atha Gautama Kumaro Narada Ribhur Angira Devalo Sitaha Apantaratama Vyaso Markandeyo Tagautama. Word for word, Kumara, Sanat Kumar, Narada, Nard Muni, Ribhu, Ribhu. Angira, Angira, Devala, Devala, Asita, is Asita, Apantaratama. Who knows the translation of Apantaratama? Vyasa's previous name. Very interesting. Vyasa, Vyas, Markandeya, Markandeya, Atta, and Gautama, Gautama. Translation, there are three other Sanskrit shlokas after this one we didn't read. O great souls, I have heard that among the great and perfect persons wandering the surface of the earth, to instruct knowledge to people covered by ignorance, are Sanat Kumar, Narada, Ribhu, Angira, Devla, Asita, Apantaratama, Vyasdev, Markandeya, Gautama, Vashishta, Bhagavan Parshuram, Kapila, Shukadev, Durvasa, Jagyavalkya, Jatukarna and Aruni. Others are Romasha, Chayavan, Dattatreya, Asuri, Patanjali, the great sage Tomya, who is like the head of the Vedas. The sage Panchashika, Hiranyanab, Kaushalya, Shutadev, and Ritadvaja. You must certainly be among them. You want to repeat that shloka together? O great souls, I have heard that among the great and perfect persons wandering the surface of the earth, to instruct knowledge to people covered by ignorance, are Sanat Kumar, Narada, Ribhu, Angira Devla Asita, Apantaratama Vyasdev, Markandeya Gautama Vashishta, Bhagavan Parsharam, Kapila Shukadev Durvasa, Jagyavokya, Jatukarna and Aruni. Others are Romasha, Chayavan Dattatreya, Asuri Patanjali, the great sage Domya, who is like the head of the Vedas, the sage Panchashikha, Hiranyanab, Kaushalya, Shrutadev, and Ritadvija. You must certainly be among them. Are there any people specially devoted to Mahabharata in the audience? What name comes to mind here from the list we just read? Domya. Who is Domya, if you know? He's appointed the head priest and guru of the Pandavas. He followed them on exile and instructed them in all the procedures of their exile and all the daily duties to be performed. So you imagine the world if all of these pure devotees are wandering the earth at the same time. This is a different age, right? All right, we'll read some of the purport. The word Jnanahetava is very significant because great personalities like those listed in these verses wander on the surface of the globe not to mislead the populace but to distribute real knowledge. Without this knowledge, human life is wasted. The human form of life is meant for realization of one's relationship with Krishna or God. One who lacks this knowledge is categorized among the animals. The Lord Himself says in Bhagavad Gita 7:15. Anyone know Gita 7:15? Namam. Why are you so shy? If you know, when Prabhupada was here, all the ladies would want to chant the mantra in the beginning of the class to show him that they're reading his books. They know, they're learning Sanskrit just to read his books. And I asked to recite 7:15. So many people here know it, but you're hesitant to speak up. Be enthusiastic about this knowledge. Why? Because as Sulochan, my friend from Alachua, knows, he's a big book distributor, 25 years distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, and very devoted to reading them. But when you recite or you distribute, you get deep realization of the information you're acquiring from those Vedas and these great personalities and the great His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ho. Is it right? He's speaking tomorrow. You can hear more about it from hearing from Sulochan. So, namam duskritino mudha. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons do not surrender unto me. Ignorance is the bodily conception of life. And Srila Prabhupada partially quotes, Yasyatma bhuti kunape tridatuke. Then there's a dot, dot, dot saying, Saeva Gokara. Does anyone know the whole shloka here? You know? Yasyatma bhuti. Speak up. Who knows the third line? Or is not too nervous to recite it? I don't know it, so I'm waiting for you. I knew it back in the 70s, but I'm old body now. Third line? Yatirtha buddhi salilena karhichij saeva gokara. Prabhupada quoted that often if you spend time with him. Practically everyone throughout the universe, especially on this planet, Burloka, thinks there is no separate existence of the body and soul, and therefore no need of self-realization. But that is not a fact. Therefore, all the Brahmins listed here, being devotees, travel all over the world to awaken Krishna consciousness in the hearts of such foolish materialists. The acharyas mentioned in these verses are described in Mahabharata. The word panchashika is also important. One who is liberated from the conceptions of anamai, pranamai, manomai, vijnanamai, and anandamai, and who is perfectly aware of the subtle coverings of the soul, is called panchashika. According to the statements of Mahabharata, Shanti Parva, chapters 218 to 219, an acharya named panchashika took birth in the family of Maharaj Janak, the ruler of Mithila. Who knows something about Maharaj Janaka? Ram Bhaktas in the audience? I can't hear you, I'm an old man. Father of Sita Devi. Very good. The Sankhya philosophers accept Panchashik Acharya as one of them. Real knowledge pertains to the living entity dwelling within the body. Unfortunately, because of ignorance, the living entity identifies himself with the body and therefore feels pleasure and pain. This discussion of self-realization is very relevant because I think it was 1974 when we were here in Vrindavan for the opening of the Krishna Balaram temple, and we discovered that it wasn't going to be opened that summer as planned. One morning it was Balaram Jayanti, and we went for a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada. And outside the road was just a dirt road, no traffic, no automobiles, no electric taxis. Only every 5 or 10 minutes a cart would come by with a horse. Srila Prabhupada, I remember him, the cart came by, what do you call them? No? Tanga, yeah. Cart came by, And the driver saw Srila Prabhupada with maybe 10 or 15 of us on the road. And driver says, Jai Radhe. And Srila Prabhupada looks at him, Hare Krishna. And then Prabhupada turns to us and says something wonderful that, like he always said, one of the glories or the great pleasure of being with Srila Prabhupada is you never really knew what he was going to say because he's on the other platform. He's coming, he's absorbed in Vaikuntha, and we cannot project exactly what he's saying or what he's thinking. So what do you think he said? Or maybe Daivashakti remembers me telling this story once. No? He says, Hare Krishna, to the man. Then he turns to us. He says, the horse is the most beautiful animal. And so we were thinking that day, oh, today is Balaram Jayanti. When we get back from the morning walk and go to class, we're going to hear such nectar, such intimate understanding of Balaram and Krishna's whole family. And the whole lecture, Srila Prabhupada speaks like this. You are the soul within the body. It was a realization in itself. That realization of the self is a qualification that we need to come to pure Krishna consciousness. It's included, but we have to think like that. Otherwise, even our conception or our practice of Krishna consciousness becomes affected by our material ego, our material concept. Oh, he's temple president, I'm commander, someday I'll be temple president. Or he's big book distributor, I'm cook, he's such a greater devotee than me. When you get to the Brahman platform, then Pandita Samadarshana, you see everything as Krishna, and everything as Krishna's energy, and everything engaged in his service. And without distinguishing yourself from the body, then the bhakti, the devotional service, becomes more affected by the material platform. I was reading this in the Gita the other day. So this is important knowledge that all of these sages are giving to human society, and they're giving the bhakti also at the same time. There's mention here, for example, if you think that because I'm still in bodily concept, I'm interpreting my bodily consciousness onto the explanation of Srimad Bhagavatam, that's a fact, but I'm trying. Mentioned here in the verse is Patanjali. Who knows something of Patanjali? Anyone? Patanjali is known for being the master of yoga, the Hatha Yoga system. But here it's mentioned that he's a great self-realized bhakta. And there are many in the West and probably in Russia and in India also, all over the world now, there are yoga centers and people have increased interest in yoga practice. And here it's said that the master of yoga, Patanjali, is himself a bhakta yogi. And Srila Prabhupada quotes that in Bhagavad Gita, referring to Patanjali, giving an explanation of the transcendental pleasure exchanged between the soul and the super soul as the goal of the yoga system. So, just like maybe in the 60s or early 70s, many of us who came to Krishna consciousness, we were known as hippies or counterculture. Allen Ginsberg, Prabhupada's friend and follower, He called it the counterculture. This is, Prabhupada used to say, hippies are our best customers, because so many of us were open-minded and interested in a new consciousness. So if you preach in the West nowadays, people into yoga and Ayurveda and Jyotish, these are best candidates for becoming devotees. And they are all already incorporating the Maha Mantra chanting into their daily practice. Just, I'll give some examples. 2 weeks ago in Alachua, our god brother Rasatala, he runs an Ayurveda health clinic. And they were doing yoga teacher training, 3-week course. And 25 people come to live there. They get prasadam, they get taught yoga all day, and every night they sit down and they chant the Maha Mantra. And last week I was in Germany doing a seminar on Jyotish. So we explain the Vedic principles of Jyotish given by, also mentioned here in the shloka, Bhagavan Parashuram. The Parashurahora Shastra is the Bible of Vedic astrology. Jai Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Radhesham, Shri Gonitai. So, in this time also, the time of King Chitraketu, these great yogis, devotees, Jyotishis, they were pure devotees and teaching their particular learning of the Vedas within the context of bhakti. Right? Whatever we do, if we don't add bhakti, it is shrama eva hi kevalam. How many times Srila Prabhupada quoted that one? All a waste of time. I give one example. One morning in Los Angeles, Srila Prabhupada would go on his morning walk, 6 o'clock. One morning we drove to Santa Monica. Who's been there? Yeah. And Bhubaneswar Prabhu also has been there. So I was reading one of Srila Prabhupada's books where he goes very heavily into arguing against Mayavad philosophy. Of course, if you read any of Srila Prabhupada's books, you'll see that he is Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya. He came to vanquish that. So I asked him, because I said to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, in America, people are not so familiar with Shankara's philosophy. People were not studying the tenets of Shankaracharya, were you? Yeah. So why do you spend so much time in your books refuting Shankara philosophy? Which was a little bold on my part. So he looks at me without a second hesitation. He says, because by using the mind, this is the only conclusion you can come to. That spirit is something different from matter. That's as high as you can get with the Mayavad philosophy. I am not this, I am not that, I am not this. I must be Brahma. But through meditation, just thinking, and in those days they would stare at a candle or they'd recite a mantra, you know, but their only thought is something different than who I am or what I've experienced in my life. But by exercising the mind, You can't come to the concrete spiritual form. You can't come to Paramatma. You can't come to Bhagavan. You can only think it is not this. I am that. And what do they usually come to the conclusion of? I am that means I am God. I am it. I am the creator. I am the enjoyer, which is the same false ego that put us into the material world in the first place. Therefore, Shrama Evahi Kevalam. Exercising the mind is a waste of time. What is that verse from Brahma Samhita? Yogis, by drilling the respiration, do you know that shloka? By drilling the respiration, the breathing process, without bhakti, they can go on for millions of years and not come to the conclusion. And what is the conclusion of Brahma Samhita? Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. This is described in an earlier text which was not read. Text 8. Text 9. Let me see. Brahmins who are exalted to the position of Vaishnavas, the most dear servants of Krishna, just to benefit materialists like us who are attached to sense gratification, and just to dissipate our ignorance, these Vaishnavas wander on the surface of the earth according to their desire. So Vaishnavas, like all of the ones we've read about today, they come to earth to give the mercy of Vaishnavism to other people. And they appear to be yogis or philosophers or jyotishis or kings, but they are actually very elevated Vaishnavas. And what is the process that they get to become elevated Vaishnavas? It's by the mercy of the great soul. It's by the... When I look out here today and see this big temple and all the devotees from all nationalities, and my wife Ratneshwari and I were here in 1974 when it was just some piles of sand and some brick, you know, those little brick things with the rope beds that you sleep in when it's 120 degrees outside. In May and June, great tapas. I couldn't do it at this advanced age. At that time, we really didn't see what would unfold from Srila Prabhupada's plans. We were out here, and Vrindavan was over there, and there was a tanga coming by every 5 or 10 minutes. And now this is the highlight of Vrindavan, your Krishna Balaram Mandir. And so much development is being going on everywhere in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada surcharged and brought Vrindavan to life for the whole world to benefit by. Can we argue that point? Yoga people are coming here. Ayurveda people are coming here. Pure devotee bhaktas are coming here and joining the temple. This is all the kripa of the Mahajan Srila Prabhupada. Just as in this age, King Chitraketu was blessed by Narada and Angira. And you know the story of Chitraketu. He becomes Vritrasura, the demon, and dies a glorious death. Whereas King Indra, who cut his head off with his foam weapon, he's condemned to live for millions of years in this material universe enjoying his position as king of heaven. He's also Bhakta, of course, but Vritrasura, Chitraketu, he achieved the real goal of life of going back to Godhead. His self-realization is at the point of pure bhakti to Krishna. Can read his prayers in this sixth canto. The very wonderful expositions of Vaishnavism. And he was blessed by Narada and Angira to come to that standard. From the preliminary search for self-realization up to the topmost rung of bhakti. This is described in Bhagavad Gita. This is a very long road to go from starting to inquire about the self. Who am I? What is the purpose of my life? What am I doing here in this universe? Up to the point of dedicating your whole mind, life, body, your whole daily work, your money, your husband, your children, your house, your work, your every activity only for the pleasure of Krishna with your every thought, word, and deed. That is a long ladder of self-realization. Generally, it takes many lifetimes. But when you meet and contact the pure devotee, then the doors to liberation are open. You know that line, Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahur Vimuktes. Who knows what Dwara means? Have you been to Dwaraka? The doorway, the gate. This is how Dwaraka was named. There was one Brahmin who went on a long pilgrimage to come and see Krishna. And he got to Dwaraka and he was asking everybody, Dwara, Dwara, where is the gate to Krishna's house? And Krishna was so pleased, he named his whole city after that Brahmin, Dwaraka. So when we're blessed by the mercy of a pure soul, then we come very quickly to the topmost rung of the yoga ladder. And this is the gift that Srila Prabhupada gave us. Ordinary people. I joined in Berkeley in 1971. My temple commander and constant associate for 3 years was Jayananda Prabhu. He's acknowledged as a great saint in the history of ISKCON. So he was just a normal person like us, left school in Ohio, came out to San Francisco, took a job as a taxi driver, and then Prabhupada comes and he's intimately associated with the most intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he pleases Srila Prabhupada very dearly. That's how quick the path of bhakti is. Srila Prabhupada says this, if you want to get to the top floor, maybe the top floor of, let's say, the Empire State Building, 98 stories or something, you're a New Yorker, what is it? About 100. Prabhupada says you can walk or you can take the elevator and go right to the top. You know, so take the elevator of spiritual life, which is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and go right to Krishna's lotus feet. One time in his room in Los Angeles, I was a very talkative, still am, very talkative fellow. So I went to Srila Prabhupada in his office, and I dared to ask him this question. I said, Srila Prabhupada, even though we are conditioned souls, we are troubled by so many thoughts and desires, still, if we have a little feeling for Krishna in a particular way, I remember thinking at the time, I want to be like Arjun, friend of Krishna. And even though I'm, you know, 25-year-old American, just years away from hippie life, I dared to ask him this question. I said, if we have a little feeling, even though I understand we are conditioned souls, what do we do with that? Is that all right? And he opened up his eyes very wide, like you've seen those pictures. He says, oh, that is what is wanted. He wants us all to have that relationship with Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, it says, identification with individuality is real spiritual life. When we come past the yoga, the Brahman, the impersonalist, thinking, imagining within our mind that we are God, we can realize an individual relationship with Krishna. Not only that, but we realize that everyone, all of you, all of the flies, all of the, how do you call the salamanders in India? The chameleons? We call them gecko. You know, they crawl on the walls and they eat bugs. What do you call them? Okay. Every one of them, everyone is an individual jiva. This is one of the, if you think about the glories of Krishna, you can't really understand it very much. But just imagine that he created 1 trillion jivas in this one town of Vrindavan. And each one of them is an individual with a unique personality, a unique heart, a unique rasa with Krishna. And there are millions and trillions of planets all over the creation where every individual jiva is a unique individual soul. It's inconceivable, the potency of God to produce all of us with our individuality. Panchagoda has a difficult job because he has to run a management system. But he also has to give each individual his individuality and what enthuses you to serve Krishna with your individual talent, propensities, and abilities. So, take the mercy of you also, Temple President G. Take the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and you do your job perfectly that way. By his mercy, all of this is going on. By his mercy, all of this has happened and it has developed. And if you see any Vaishnava, give them respect also for their individuality. One time in Berkeley, California, there was a temple that we moved a temple from San Francisco to Berkeley. Srila Prabhupada came to San Francisco Rath Yatra. And at night, after a very victorious Rath Yatra, he was sitting in his office, very triumphant, you know, with it, when he would hold his head high without any trace of ego. And there are yogis and jains and Munis were there. Who's that famous yogi who had an ashram down the road from ours? Do you remember the name? Yogi Bhajan. He was in the room also. And Srila Prabhupada sitting here, and he's like the fire. And everyone else is like little firefly. You know, you could just see, this is the Mahatma. Anyway, there was an Indian man there who needed a ride back to his place, and Prabhupada asked, and I drove him. And the next morning, on the morning walk, I said to Srila Prabhupada, when I drove that Indian man back from your office, He went to a yoga ashram. And when we went inside, there were 300 people sitting on the floor. And they all had their eyes closed and they were all going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Very nice kirtan. And Prabhupada looked at me and said, oh, why they do not come to our temple? And I think Jayatirtha spoke up and said, because when they come, we tell them they are rascals. And Srila Prabhupada laughed. And someone said something else, and someone said something else. And Srila Prabhupada went this, have you ever seen him go like this? Very regally, flip his hand. He goes, doesn't matter. They are all chanting Hare Krishna. So sometimes some devotees may not cooperate or agree with what you are saying. They each have their individuality, or they may not join ISKCON, or they may separate from ISKCON, or they may start their own ashrams, or they may... doesn't matter. If they chant Hare Krishna, they are making some progress. We can give some respect. But for ourselves, we concentrate our prayers on Srila Prabhupada and his mercy. He's the representative of Lord Chaitanya who carries all the mercy to deliver this universe. If you're meditating, for example, and you're trying to understand God, your mind cannot conceive of the personality of Godhead and his opulences. What is the only thing you can do? You can just pray. Oh my God, please reveal yourself. I cannot achieve you. I surrender unto you. And that is when you add bhakti to your dhyan, to your meditation, or to your cooking, or to your temple management, or to your art business, or whatever activity you're doing, being placed there under the supreme will of Lord Krishna. When you add that, I surrender unto you, I need your help, please show me the way. Srila Prabhupada, please give me your mercy so I can do this puja work very nicely. That's when the bhakti becomes purified and we get to the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. The last line in Bhagavad Gita, last purport, is when we take, he comes under the shelter of the supreme pleasure potency of the Lord. You remember that line? Who's read last lines of Bhagavad Gita? If you've read Bhagavad Gita through, raise your hand. Don't be shy. You remember that line, Prabhu? Comes under the shelter of the internal pleasure potency of the Lord. That's how he finishes his commentary on Bhagavad Gita. So this is the process, praying for the mercy of the liberated souls as explained in this shloka. Any questions or any embellishments or any refutation of what has been said? Yes, Prabhu.
Jai. We're also, you know, want to make an ideal city for job and over down and that. But actually, it's all because of Prabhupada's hearing and preaching, and we could appreciate that.
Who was that person again? Would you repeat?
Yes, that's the senior superintendent of police.
Oh.
In Mathura, he's in charge of a big area.
When Srila Prabhupada was in Chicago, a big policeman came to see Prabhupada also. He said, what do we do about crime? And Prabhupada said, you help me spread this Sankirtan movement, crime will stop. They didn't do it. Now Chicago is murder capital of the world. very horrible situation there. 4,000 people murdered in 1 year in the city of Chicago. If they had taken shelter of Prabhupada and taken up his Sankirtan movement like here, I'm sure you don't have statistics like that in Vrindavan. So many crimes, so many murders. Maybe some pickpocketing. Struggle for existence. A human race. The only hope, His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana ki jai. Thank you very much. Thank you, Prabhus, for the opportunity to remember Srila Prabhupada with you.